We are wounded warriors. We have ancient wounds in our body. We have scars. We have, whether they're emotional scars or physical scars from surgeries, but we're not broken, you know? So it's like, how can we say, because sometimes if we say I'm broken, then we'll try to fix it. But we don't need to be fixed. We need to be healed. We need to be back to ease, return back to ease and balance and harmony and homeostasis and alignment, right? And that's what it's all about. Not just structural and physical alignment, but emotional alignment, energetic alignment, and spiritual alignment.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast, brought to you by AmpCoil. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we discuss the common thread survivors share after walking through the fire, the practitioners making a difference, and the treatment modalities that deliver healing back into the hands of the people who need it most. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. We're here in New York City at an incredible co-working space called the Assemblage. Unbelievable space. Geometric patterns all over the lobby as they greet you into the door. But now I'm on the seventh floor and I'm with Idan Harari. And we just went through some incredible emotional, somatic experience, body work, lots of stuff happened on the table. Idan, welcome to the podcast, first off.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I mean, I have to be honest, I'm in such an incredible place in my body right now. I'm at such ease. I feel like I have not felt like this in years.
Amazing. I'm so glad.
So we just did this incredible work. I want to let the audience in on exactly what it is you do and how you work. Can you frame the sandbox you play in a little bit for us?
Sure. Well, I do healing. I do body therapy, body emotional release therapy, myofascial release, a lot of different things, but it's healing. I just like to say healing in general and multidimensional healing, because for me to just say it's just body work, it's just not. You know, I work with the body, with the mind, with the spirit, with energy. There's a lot involved. I do work with the body, though, as an access point. So it's basically working with the body, not on the body or against it, right? As we spoke about before. And really to support people's healing, whatever that looks like. And usually it has to do with engaging the body and working with a manual therapy technique or a body therapy technique. But it also could be through movement, right? Sometimes I'll have people get up off the table and we'll do some movement therapy work. So there's a lot of different dimensions. There's breath work, there's meditation, there's visualizations. There's a lot of things involved. But my experience and my formal education is in body work, right? So working as a body worker and specifically as a massage therapist and licensed massage therapist, then it evolved to practicing osteopathic-based manual therapy work, and then that evolved to practicing myofascial release, which works with the emotions as well, the type of myofascial release that I do, which then evolved to orgonomy, which is Wilhelm Reich and his body of work, which is emotional release work and working with the physical body and the muscular armoring to release that. So there's many dimensions to my work, and I've been doing this for over 12 years now, so you know, it all started with massage. It all started with yoga. In fact, when I was in my early 20s, when I was 21, I used to practice and teach yoga and then eventually got into hands-on work and Thai massage and Thai yoga massage and massage therapy and then on and on and on.
On and on.
Just many years later, I'm here and I have this, my own system, which I call kinetic release therapy. I got to give it a name. You know how it is.
Yes.
And so it's just like this system of healing, which combines many, many different modalities. And it really just depends on what the person needs. I work with kids and adults. So it really just depends on what the person is needing in that moment, right? So it's going to be different for everyone. There's no protocols. There's no ways that I work besides for working with the principles of healing, which are the self-corrective mechanisms of our body, letting our body heal itself, and really tapping into the laws of nature and being in reverence with the laws of nature. In other words, our body can naturally heal itself And I'm just here to support that and facilitate that process without using force. And if I'm ever using force, it's really just to engage something, of course. But most of the time, it's very gentle and safe work. That's why I can work with kids with this work as well. And it's very potent, as you can tell, which you've just experienced in a session just now. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's an understatement. There's so many things I want to go into about this experience right now. But I also want to ask, you know, you found your way into healing, into facilitating change in the body for a reason. Like, why are you so driven and why are you so passionate about the work that you do?
Well, because the work that I do or the love that I share is what I received myself to heal from my many conditions that I have in the past, whether it was physical tension and pain and physical illnesses and diseases that I've been through, or emotional, so mental health issues. So, you know, I've been on a journey myself, quite a journey, which we could get into. It's a long journey, such as yourself, right? We've both been through a lot. We're both beautifully broken here.
There you go.
And, you know, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And everything that I do with my clients these days and my students is really just about supporting them to heal, because I want them to heal. And why do I want people to heal so bad is because I couldn't heal many times and had trouble healing. And I was in states of dis-ease, right? Lack of ease, of pain, of suffering, of discomfort, of mental health issues and physical health issues, including cluster headaches and many different other things. So I found myself in need of healing and support. And my doctors at the time were not supporting me in the way that I felt I could be supported. And I looked out for other modalities, which, you know, we would call alternative medicine, but I just call it natural healing, mm-hmm. natural medicine, right? It's not alternative. It should be just, it's just natural healing and holistic approaches to healing, which take a multidimensional approach rather than just like a Western medicine, like very mechanicalistic approach.
Compartmentalized, yeah.
Compartmentalized, yeah. Sort of like physical therapy, right? I mean, it can be great, but then a lot of it's like outdated and very mechanical. And, you know, we are multidimensional beings. We have to make sure that we access all aspects and not just thinking of ourselves as that Terminator with the robotic Terminator.
Yeah.
Instead, we're like that liquid, you know, metallic Terminator who's like, you know, that's what we are. And so when we work with a body in that way, when your hands are on someone's body, even just if you're working with a loved one, I love teaching all types of levels of how to apply your hands onto someone's body. But you want to feel into the liquidity, if that's the right word, yeah. of this, but of us as humans. And the fascial system is like that too. It's this gel, and it's really important to feel into the body in that way and realize that we're more like liquid, and rather than being this like, you know, muscular, mechanical robot. Like, mm-hmm. we're not robots.
It's not the model of taking your car into the shop and just replacing a wheel and you go out and you're well again. In fact, I mean, we could talk about the theories of joint replacement and how that is not as, it never has the outcome that people think it's going to. And having family members, you know, go in and it's like, I'm going to get, you know, this hip, or I'm going to get these knees replaced, and then I'm going to be like the commercials doing cartwheels down the beach. It's never that way, because there's more things going on than just the knees, and there's more things happening than just the hips. When you started on me, and I'll just set the scene for everybody, I was on a massage table, which had an elemental heating mat, which has crystals in it and generating some frequency in the body. And when we started, it was very much like an osteopathic bodywork session where my head was cradled, gentle hands, gentle touch. But you started out with some dialogue that really spoke to me about the nature of what we were going to get into, the relationship. Can you speak a little bit? I thought it was so beautiful, and it like opened my heart and like got me primed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was about, if I can remember, actually when I'm giving sessions, I'm kind of like in this state, right? Of I'm still intuitive. And, I think it was, we were talking about, or maybe I was sharing with you how like the healing is coming from within you, and I'm just here to facilitate that process. And we're just here to support the body to heal. We're working together as a team. It's about getting you to feel comfortable and safe in your body again, right? And just your home. And, you know, tuning into that, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there were all these moments where you would just check in with the body, and you're touching on a point like in my pack, and you're like, do you feel that? Are you aware it's safe to be there? It's safe to let go. We're going to do this together. As opposed to if I go to a deep tissue massage and someone just grinding out that muscle, trying to get it to release. And we were having these releases that would happen pretty quickly in these tendons that had been tight for, you know, years. So I was amazed how the language opened the possibility that I was a participant in the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I do is I bring in the mind, right, into the situation. So it's not just body work, right? It's not just pressing into the body and trying to get it to release, or me trying to force a change to happen. So I think I was mentioning the change comes from within. See if you can feel that. Let the body go. And then I have you even repeat, I let go as a mantra. And then really it was about maybe even me telling you about how, see if you can visualize the tension melting like butter. You know, maybe there was a little bit of that. So there's lots of cues, lots of visual cues that I use. And also it really depends on what kind of human I'm working with, because sometimes we're visual humans and other times we're really cerebral and very intellectual and are stuck in our heads. So it's really just all about me guiding you and facilitating your healing journey and your process of taking you on that somatic journey, right? That somatic experience, soma being of the body. And, you know, we have all these somatic processes. So it's really me working with you to support you to feel into all the subtle sensations and the feelings, the emotions, the energy that's flowing, right? Emotion is just energy in motion. And so much of that is stuck and lodged in our body and contained in this body of ours. So I try to facilitate this process of letting you, or letting the clients, my clients and students, to feel everything, to feel what's happening, to bring you into your body, because we're really usually stuck in our heads and our thoughts and our psyche and just doing, right? Stepping into being, just throwing people into a state of real being and real feeling, sort of like a meditative state, right? Of when you're in that deep state of meditation and you feel that oneness and that connection and you feel your body, you feel like, oh, there's achiness in my shoulders right now. And
yeah,
you feel it, right? And it's very different than the state that we're in most of the time, right? I try to bring people into that void, right? Into that state of oneness and feeling. And a lot of the times the feelings that people feel are quite uncomfortable. So it's about me supporting that process and having them guided through that. It's almost like a psychedelic experience sometimes, to be honest. Sometimes I'm
totally,
like, you know, people are like, wow, this is really, really intense. And I'm like, I know. Well, so is taking ayahuasca. And so is there's certain things that you're going to come up with, like in terms of feeling your chaos, right? Feeling all that shit that you're holding onto in your body, all that stuff, the imprints, the, you know, the emotions from your childhood may come up. And this is all stored in our body. And I have this way of pressing into certain energetic centers in the body to get people to feel that shit. And when they feel it, they clear it out, they let it go. And it's really all about feeling. To heal, we must feel.
Yeah, you queued it up a couple times. I mean, there's two spots that stick out. And one time you were just right in the mandible. You're right in my jaw. And it hurt so bad. And you kept saying, I know that's intense, but what's behind the pain? What's behind the pain? And to try to accept that feeling of intensity, and then what's below that and what's below that, that yielded a release. So I thought that was really amazing. The other one was when you were doing all the attachments around the rib cage, and uncontrollable laughter. It was just rolling laughter. And that led to that another release I could feel in my feet. I'd feel blood flow in my legs.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually people laugh before they cry. And so I didn't take you there today because I feel like it's intense, but there sometimes I can take people into that of like just really breaking down that armor, which is what I'm doing by pressing in hard. And I wasn't pressing in hard like deep tissue would be, where somebody's trying to release it and like force the muscles to be free. This is really engaging. It's an energetic engagement of different muscular armor, like zones, areas of our body where we contain a lot of energy. So that area was containing so much energy that it was really funny and ticklish, right? And really intense. And sometimes, you know, you feel that and you're like, wow, it hurts, but then it tickles, and then you feel that ticklishness. That's the energy. That's energy. And so when you're laughing, the energy is moving. In fact, when we sob, when we cry, when we laugh, when we move, do those kind of vibrations, those body vibrations from inside our guts, you know, in our diaphragm, what's happening there, it's almost like a sound healing thing. It's a vibration that the body does to release energy and to release that stagnant energy in the body. So that's why laughter is such medicine, and so is crying, you know. Crying is a release of that pressure and that tension. And even around your eyes, you're going to start to feel softness, right? So you're going to release pressure. People with complain of headaches, and sometimes just crying can relieve a headache, right? It's releasing tremendous amount of pressure around your eyes or your ocular segment is what Wright calls it, right around here. And this is like, just when there's too much pressure, too much thought, too much work, too much saying yes, like not enough boundaries, right? There's a lot of things that come up for us that cause us this structural and physical contraction and energetic blockage in our body. So what I do is with one of these emotional release techniques is I press into these areas really hard, which again can be really intense temporarily in order for you to feel it. And when you feel it, you release it. Your body releases it because it realizes like, holy shit, this hurts so much that like it hurts to hold. It hurts to control. It hurts to add that resistance and contract. And so because it hurts so much, the body just chooses to let it go. But the difference is I'm not pressing to hurt you or to instill fear or to try to release that muscle like massage. There's no deep tissue. There's no trigger point work. There's no acupressure work. It's more energetic engagement of that blockage, that area of blockage and tension. And then the body starts to let it go on its own. So it's not about us trying to let it go. It's just about us creating an awareness to your body so that your body's aware that it's holding.
Yeah, I had this aha moment on the table about all healing, not just your system. And, you know, just the fact that I was so engaged in the process, and it really was all you were doing. And I felt this, I'm like, this guy's just going around my body with a flashlight, bringing awareness to where I don't want to go or where I'm hiding things. But that's every modality out there. You either accept it as something that brings awareness to a level of healing in your body and you work with it. If it's passive, how long is the healing really going to hang around? And how deep will it really be if you're not going to show up to do at least half the work?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really important that we work together as a team and that you're actually involved in that. And that's why the movement based practices that I do are so powerful, because people are really involved because they're doing the moving, right? It's no longer like them just being passive and their bones laying on this table and me doing everything. It's about them moving their body through space and their bones and joints through space and feeling into that somatic experience, right? And so I think it's really important that we do the work, right? And it's not just work, it's healing, right? Let's just think about that. We do the healing, and the healing comes from within us, and that we actually take the steps necessary to heal ourselves and take, do these techniques, right? Of meditation, of journal writing, of movement as medicine, of somatic-based meditation practices, of breath work, right? There's so many different access points. So what I do is kind of work with all these different access points, but in whatever way is necessary for this human that I'm working with, right? Because everybody's different. So it's like, how is this person showing up in their body? And then that's how I figure out, both intuitively and also with my brain and mind and my experience, how to support them.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think in this, especially the sandbox that you're playing in right now. So you're in New York City. You're in the epicenter. I actually looked it up today. There's 8.635 million people on the island, within the five boroughs. So we're just so jam-packed here. And I've done research before on when society starts to break down. It's like over 10,000. So, right. So there's so much. This is really fascinating to me that it's all intertwining today, which is not coincidence. It's happening for a reason. But that we're so inundated with information and stimulus and emotions and choices and response that our processing systems, our little cellular makeup, it's really not equipped. So like for you, you must see when you get people in here that they're just overloaded.
way overloaded. New York City is a way overloaded city.
I mean,
there's so much pressure, and very often there's so much pressure that I tell you, like, within 5 minutes, the client's breaking down, crying, releasing anger, screaming, kicking, punching, like, you'd be surprised, you know? And I think it has to do with, again, just that frenetic energy, the intensity of New York, the speedy kind of energy of, like, just, you know, you can't even walk slow on the street, like, no. Unless you're a tourist, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
There's this energy of just caffeine driven and then, like, end of the day alcohol, like, you know, downing kind of mentality of New York. And I tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with this city. And I live in Brooklyn in a quiet area by trees. And I say, you know, I try to come into Manhattan only 3 days a week if I can.
Yeah.
Because it's intense here. And for someone as sensitive energetically and energetically sensitive as I am, I find myself very empathic that I can only have so much of this city.
Wow. I feel the same way. Hence, I'm in the middle of a transition. So it's coming. So, but you're here for a reason. You're here to work with this population. You know, what's your dream with this practice, with this modality that you've developed, branded? It's great branding. And where do you want to go with it?
Well, right now I'm evolving to be more of a speaker and educator and be on stages and teach movement as medicine and breath work and everything else, because I find that I can create massive impact if I'm working with large groups to shift them energetically in that way rather than just doing one-on-one work. So I'm going to continue to do one-on-one work, but I only want to see between 10 to 15 clients a week right now in my physical practice. And the rest of the time I'm doing virtual sessions with people around the world. So I'm supporting people around the world virtually with this work and just speaking and educating others about this, maybe doing seminars, workshops. I've been doing that. I did a retreat as well, but I'd like to do much more of that, much more creating much more impact, right? So it's like less like just, because otherwise I'm only impacting like 20 people and their families and their friends and everybody else, right? Because it's so much more than just working with one person. But I would like to see more of an impact, and I'd like to, you know, support many more people with these principles of healing, right? Which again, we can access through many different points. It doesn't have to be with the hands-on manual therapy. That's why through Zoom, I can work online virtually with someone from Sweden, let's say, or just today, Turks and Caicos, and basically support them with the meditation, with the breath work, and with them pressing into their own body and their own energy blockages and bringing in, again, the somatic experience with movement. There's so many different forms of medicine, again, but it's really when you're a therapeutic artist such as myself, we can really just use whatever tools we have in our toolkit to support the person, and we know what to do. We can figure out what to do, and it doesn't always have to be through the touch, although it's way easier to have someone else press into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And also the myofascial release is way easier when somebody else does it for you. That's a very fine tuning of the hands, very gentle approach of pressure. That's something that really requires someone else working with you. But there are a lot of stuff we can do. You know, on our own, a lot of things that we can do on our own.
What is that deal? You know, to apply pressure to your own body and then have someone else do the same thing. It's magical when somebody else is integrating with, whether it's their energetic field coming into yours, whether it's me holding my hypervolt massage gun versus somebody else holding it. It's a totally different experience.
Totally different experience.
Same gun.
Yeah. So I love the hyperbole, I use it as well. And so I know the experience. So the thing is that when we are trying to heal ourselves or fix ourselves or correct ourselves, our nervous system feels that. Our body feels that. Our body knows and senses that we're trying to do something. We're trying to change something. But when we're fully passive, like in a bodywork session or manual therapy session, we're in a state of relaxation and ease, and we're letting things happen. And we're allowing for the change to happen from within, but we're not trying to change anything. In fact, I also make sure that my clients know that I'm not trying to change anything either, because our nervous system is so sensitive that if we feel somebody else trying to force a change on our body, it's going to react with bracing and contracting. And that's why I don't use force in most of the techniques that I do for structural releases, because our body heals itself. So we don't need to use a chiropractic forceful manipulation or adjustment or a deep tissue elbow in someone's back in order to get a release to happen. Again, the release comes from within. The body can realign itself. If we work with the osteopathic based manual therapy techniques that I do, such as orthobiony, which is one of the modalities that influences a lot of my work. And it's really all about, again, letting the change come from within. And we really got to be mindful that when we're self-treating, which I do all the time, mm-hmm. it's totally different. That's why today I went for an orthobiony session with one of my instructors to get my own session, because it's very different than releasing my own tension. In fact, I have my rib get displaced once in a while here and there.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's really hard for me to put it back on my own body. But at the same time, like if somebody else comes in, even an untrained hand, I tell them what to do and then they can get it to come back in place. But when it comes to soft tissue tension, like a muscular contraction, I can release that in 5 seconds on my own body without any force, without any pain. But then sometimes if it's a really deep knot, I can't release it myself. I have to have someone else do it to me. Or with me, right? And really facilitate that process by me going into a passive state of ease. It's all about the ease, right? And the relaxation and the nervous system in this parasympathetic state rather than the sympathetic state, right? So we want to get out of that fight, flight, freeze response. And we can't really get out of that if we're trying to fix ourselves, right?
Yeah. And also the commentary on what does that become when you can't do everything for you and yourself? The fact that you can fall in a community, that you can fall in and develop these relationships with our brothers, our sisters, our lovers, our everybody in the circle, right? That we have to rely on, we have to trust, and that's where the magic happens when we do it together.
Yeah, we want to think of it as that we're all a tribe.
Yeah.
And that we can't be on our own all the time. And we can do a lot for ourselves, and we should. And that's why I train people to do things on their own, to maintain their own body, because you don't want to always rely on someone else. But a lot of the times we need help and we need to ask for it and we need to get it from someone else who has a loving presence and touch and who's someone, again, who's facilitating our healing for us and with us. As a team, right, working together as a team, rather than, again, somebody trying to change us, somebody trying to force things or trying to fix us. We want to get away from, like, fixing. And so beautifully broken, right?
Yeah.
We're beautifully broken. However, part of me is like, wait, I want to talk about this a little bit because we're not broken, you know? We're
right.
just wounded warriors,
sure.
right? We are wounded warriors. We have ancient wounds in our body. We have scars. We have, whether they're emotional scars or physical scars from surgeries. And we all have, you know, we're all warriors that are wounded, but we're not broken, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, how can we say, because sometimes if we say I'm broken, then we'll try to fix it. But we don't need to be fixed. We need to be healed. We need to be back to ease, return back to ease and balance and harmony and homeostasis and alignment, right? And that's what it's all about. Not just structural and physical alignment, but emotional alignment, energetic alignment, and spiritual alignment, right? That's huge. So the spirit, and I really think it all starts in spirit and then eventually goes into energy, then eventually goes to emotions, then eventually goes into structural soft tissue issues and problems with your body and disease and dysfunction. That's
yeah.
all physical last. So it always shows up last in the physical, and it starts with the deeper layers, right?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I think what I would ask of the audience is just to, you know, have this acceptance that when you have something manifested in the physical, it can't always be as simple as just going after that last manifestation of the stop on the trail to dysfunction. That sometimes you got to reverse engineer and think back 4 or 5 steps and really look there before you're, you know, it's so funny. It made me think of this story. I just read this story in the New York Times this week where a gentleman had become, he owned a pit bull. And his immune system, he was immunocompromised, like so many people are. They just don't realize it. Their immune system is totally dysfunctional. Autoimmunity is on the exploding rise in the city. And this guy had become allergic to a bacteria that his pit bull carried. And he didn't realize it. And over the years, it had got so bad that he had had sepsis in his arm. So at first, he lost an arm. And then his other arm. And then both legs below the knees. So this guy, he's a painter, And I was like, oh my God. I was like, so they finally figured out it was the dog that was giving him the infection. And this guy was like, it's cool. He's like, I got new limbs. I'm learning to paint again with a fake arm. He's like, I love this dog. This dog goes nowhere.
Wow.
Right?
That's powerful.
Powerful. I was look at that attitude. I was like, if you look at the attitude, this guy's going out and painting with no arms and no legs. He's keeping the dog that was the theoretical problem of the, you know, who know, you know, we could pick this apart forever. But I just thought about the attitude behind that. And, you know, you can't teach that. That's, he brought that from other lives, you know, that power, that strength that he just like carried into the world. It's incredible.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, also like we're always going to symptoms and our body.
Yeah.
And the symptoms that show up in this physical body, and we're trying to treat them and mitigate the symptoms. And that's essentially what a lot of Western medicine doctors do. But again, we have to realize that the cause is very different than the symptoms. And the symptoms are just the check engine light going on in the car, right? Which is telling you check engine. So if you go to a mechanic right now, let's just talk about cars, not the body like a machine, but we go to a mechanic, the check engine light's on, you tell him, check out the car. He turns the check engine light off, he switches it off, turns out the bulb, something, but then he tells you, here, take your car and just drive it, it's fine now. But the truth is, did he treat the cause? Did he fix the engine? Did he check the engine? No, he just actually turned the light off. And that's essentially what's going on with us when we have symptoms of dis-ease. An illness, and we go to a doctor and we try to heal ourselves. And we're like, I want to erase my pain. But our pain is, again, just a symptom. So it's not that, you know, the pain is the problem. And so I always say, like, look for the pain and look elsewhere for the cause, especially physically. Like when you think, okay, my upper back is hurting me. What if it has nothing to do with your upper back? What if it's the fascia pulling in your foot? We don't know. So we have to look elsewhere for the cause and treat the cause. What's the cause? It could be psychosomatic. It could be that there's emotions that are being blocked and held in your body, and that's causing pressure to the fascial system and the connective tissues, and that causes you pain. And it has nothing to do with the actual structural thing that's hurting you. It has to do with the fact that you're suppressing your anxiety or your anger. Like Dr. Sarno talks about in mm-hmm. his books, right? Yes. Healing back pain and mind over, I don't remember the mind over something, but you know, maybe it's mind over back pain. But I know that, most of these things are actually psychosomatic. I'll tell you that over 90% of the people who I treat for pain, it has to do with a psychosomatic cause, right? And so when we realize that that our symptoms are just symptoms, and that it's really just the body saying I'm out of balance, right? Almost like check engine light coming on. It's like there's the organism is just not in a state of ease. And so how do we bring the organism, our body, back to a state of ease? We look at all dimensions. We look at mind, body, and spirit, right? We look at the body. We see what the dysfunction is. We try to treat it and take care of it. But at the same time, we always also look to the underlying cause, like where in my body is stuck energy, where do I feel stuck and blocked? But then it's like taking it further, where in my life do I feel stuck and blocked? Where is the energy not flowing through in my life? So for instance, if it's the right side of your body, it's usually a masculine thing. If it's the left side, it's feminine. So most people have upper back pain on their right. It's usually like work-related or stress from work or power, money, finances, something like that, more masculine. The left is usually feminine. It's creativity, it's intuition, it's, you know, a lot of that, right? So it's like, where is the energy not flowing there, right? So we always want to look into that and take a multidimensional approach and also metaphysical, right? Not just physical.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love, I love light. I love cold. I love the, you know, frequency, sound, like those, you know, using those modalities in the healing paradigm for me have been like the biggest shifts. And I've seen the biggest shifts in people. It's got to be out of the realm of just the spot treatment. The spot treatment ain't doing it. Like you said, it's like, it's not erase the pain. It's like, what is that? I had a guest on two shows ago, Razzie Berry, and she's like, these things are love letters from the body. I say they're divine whispers. Just listen to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that idea. Like lately I've been thinking about the body as like the inner child, and the body's kind of, it's like when the body's yelling and in pain and dysfunction, I sometimes like to just visualize that that's like my inner child yelling. And so when I think about that, I also think about, all right, well, if my body's yelling, what is it saying? Right? And how can I listen? And the more that I listen, the more that the yelling will quiet down, because it's like a child who's screaming and yelling for attention because we're so stuck in our head and our psyche and our thoughts and doing that our body's yelling to be taken care of, right? It's our body telling, you know, telling our brain and our mind, like sending a signal to say, hey, rest, sit with this, sit in meditation, feel those sensations, feel those emotions, feel what's coming up, feel that pressure that you have in your body. And oftentimes just feeling it alone is the way to heal it. So I recommend people sit down and do a somatic-based meditation, which is going into the body and feeling what's coming up for me right now, asking key questions. How do I feel in my body right now? What's coming up for me right now? What feels stuck? Where's the energy stuck? Where do I feel there's lack of movement? Where do I feel rigidity and stiffness, right? All of that is dysfunction. It's soft tissue dysfunction. It's energetic dysfunction and blockage and emotional imbalance. And so feeling into that is often enough to get it to shift. And other times you need a facilitator such as myself to actually engage it and let you feel that shit. Because the thing is a lot of us don't even know we're holding on to that, including myself. I've been to my body therapist several times thinking, oh, I feel fine today. This week is fine. I'm totally fine. All good. I'm not stressed. 2 minutes later, I'm crying and screaming on the table. And it's because, you know, he knows how to engage it. And so that's the same way with me. It's like I have people coming into me and be like, they're like, I'm not stressed. I feel fine. No, I just have back pain. I'm like, all right. 5 minutes later, they're on the table. They're yelling and screaming and kicking. And I'm like, what's that? And they're like, it's anger. It's frustration. I'm like, where's it coming from? And then, you know, we go down that rabbit hole and we let them feel their shit. But the thing is that most of us have no idea that we're containing it. Just like most of us don't know that we have knots in our body that are tension in our soft tissues until we actually have someone like me who's a manual therapist press in and they're like, damn, I didn't know that was so tight.
It's funny. I'm always aware of how, just from going through all the surgeries and stuff, how I'm very like accepting of pain. Like I'm very like
high tolerance.
Like I've had other people work on me and be like, are you, you're fine walking around like that? I'm like, yeah. I guess there's a degree of your ego that's dissolved with some of that stuff, but there is like a reintegration of, for me, that I think I just need to like learn how to listen to my body again. Yeah. I know there's a path that's shut down that's allowing me just to push forward. And that's I know that's part of it.
Yeah. So what happens energetically when we go through surgery, car accident, trauma, or traumatic incident to our physical body or our energy body, right? Our aura. What happens is we energetically leave our body because it's so uncomfortable there. So we leave our body. And that's essentially, I think, what a shock is when you get into a car accident, right? It's like it hurts so much to hit your head to the windshield that you left your body energetically and you're not balanced anymore. You're not grounded. And that's why you may have PTSD from something like that, or like, you know, a war thing or a rape or whatever it is. It could be anything that actually gets you into a state of disease, of just kind of like fight, flight, freeze response that you can't get out of. And it's because we energetically leave our bodies. And so that's why we can deal with the pain, because we're not really there. We're somewhere else, right? We're in our head. We're thinking, we're imagining. Maybe when I was a kid, I used to go through a lot of surgeries as well. And I've been through a lot of surgeries. So I used to like be in so much pain that I literally would just imagine myself someplace else, right? I put myself somewhere else, like on a beach. I'd imagine myself, you know, I'd meditate and like do breath work and just try to do the best I can to get out of my body because it hurts so much. But then we need to come back home to our body over time. So every time that we have, you know, a fear-based intense situation to pull us out energetically, we need to get centered and grounded and balanced in our body again in some way, shape, or form. And so that's the work that I do with my clients, is bringing them back home to their body. And it's a process. And it may mean that you need some movement therapeutics. It may mean that you need some hands-on pressure, intense pressure back into the body, and me guiding you to feel it. for you to come back there, back home. It's because home was uncomfortable, right? And every time that you had a surgery, your body's like, fuck, I'm getting out of here. You know, energetically, you're like, it's like exit. Where's my exit strategy? Let me think about something else. Let me go into my head. Let me start thinking about stuff. And then you're in your head and you're stuck in your head and the energy's all up in your head instead of in your body. So I try to pull the energy back down and back in to your root, you know, to your body, to the foundation, to the actual physical body, which is, as children and animals, they're there, right? Yeah. And we start there, right? We start connected. We're connected to spirit. We allow energy to flow. Energy flows. But then along the lines, we get blocked. We get tense. We get contained. We contain all this energy. We have this muscular armoring, right? That builds up every time we have a traumatic incident. And the traumatic incident could be a body trauma, like a surgery, right? Because you're paying for the surgery. You're going in, you're saying, this is therapeutic and good for me. But when that incision goes in, your body is like, on lockdown.
Ah!
Yeah, your body's like, like literally yelling. And I tell you, all the surgeries I've been through, each time it was like another trauma. And it was also a ton of fascial restrictions and pressure in my body, which then caused dysfunction in so many other areas, and another tear, and tore my Achilles because of it. Like, it's wild, you know, because we're actually messing with the tensegrity of the body, with the pressure. It's like this highly pressurized system. And as soon as we cut into it, it becomes like compromised. And then it's compromised for the rest of your life, you know?
So what is your regime look like for keeping on top of things for body work? What's the frequency with which you try to get in and work with somebody?
So it depends. It depends. Everybody's different. So it really depends. Some people require like regular care, and some people require like a deep dive of like 2 to 3 hours a day for a week, right? It can be like an immersive healing experience. And then like with kids, I work with kids. I mean, half hour session, they're done. I mean, sometimes like I have kids who hurt themselves from gymnastics or something, or you know, if it's something structural, it's usually like a quick fix, like a short session. And then they're done. They don't come back until there's an actual another issue. But if I'm working with someone, let's say for ADHD or anxiety or depression or something like that, that could be something where I see them weekly for a while, right? It really just depends. Everybody's different, and it's so customized and individualized. There's no way to put any protocols on anything.
Sure. I love that. It's so consistent across the board, no matter what it is. Like when I'm working with kids with Amp Coil and they're struggling with long-term chronic autoimmunity, Lyme, whatever, kids take the information so quickly.
So quickly.
So quick. They're like, oh, that person worked with the Amp Coil for 3 weeks and they're feeling amazing. They're like, they feel like they're done. Whereas an adult who's been sick for 20, 30, you know, 40 years, that patterning is so deep. And the body's just, you know, it is, can you teach the old dog new tricks? Yes. And it takes a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like with kids, their nervous system is very crisp.
Yes.
So they receive the healing so much faster. They heal faster because, again, they're just going back to the state of ease and balance. Easier for them to get there because they used to be there like a lot, you know, sooner.
Yeah.
They were there a lot sooner than us. And the older we get, even forget about older, it's not just years.
We've got that neuroplasticity that's just on point.
Yeah, but it's not just like also like the age, but it also has to do with the experiences. Because you can have someone who's 50 years old who didn't have any traumas in terms of physical traumas or surgeries or anything, and they could still have a nervous system which is much more crisp than the next person. And so I think it's like each time we had a traumatic incident, we added another layer of armoring and tension and resistance and disconnect, right? Disconnect. We're energetically leaving our body. And so that's why it's so much harder to come back home, right? It's so much harder for us to heal as adults and adults who've been through all these experiences. I really like the visual of imagining like layers of an onion.
Yeah.
Right. And each session that we do together is like removing 1, 2, 3 layers at a time, like letting go and opening up our hearts, right? Reconnecting mm-hmm. to our heart space and just really opening up to love and getting out of fear, right? Out of contraction and holding and tension of fear and into a state of love and ease and balance and flow and harmony and alignment, right? Which is all a state of love, right? Of just expansion. Right, the complete opposite of a tightly clenched fist, which is what happens to our fascial system and web when we go into a fear-based response.
And I think yes, And that person might need to get to a level of feeling safe or just diminish the pain enough where they can drop into that and then go into that level.
100%.
You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
It's like as that onion, there's people that just come in hot and they're like, it's just like a level 10 nervous system is off the hook. The contraction is unbelievable. But once they get to that point, then they can enter the idea of going into the heart, going into the body. Where can I look and do the own work?
Yeah. The first step is getting them to feel safe. And it all has to do with feeling safe. In fact, that's how the muscles release really quickly is when our body feels safe and our nervous system feels safe. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what I'm doing with the structural work that I do. If there's a contraction, that's like a regular soft tissue contraction, I'll find a way to make the body feel safe with this very precise and strategic position. And it's a positional release in osteopathy where the body self-corrects and releases in seconds. So a knot can release in 5 seconds. I showed you today. With positions and specific positions that make your brain comprehend that it's safe to let go. So it's like, it's safe. You can let go. That's the conversation that I do with my hands with people is like, and their bodies when I'm working with my clients, it's like, it's safe. You can let go. Very different than pressing in, digging in hard, trying to release the muscles and saying, release. You know, it's like yelling, right? It's a very different thing. With the work that I do is all about like, or the love that I share, it's all about like, it's safe, you can let go. And then when I do the emotional release stuff, that's quite intense and that's different. But again, that needs to be energetically engaged in that way. And you need to feel that level of intensity. But even when I'm doing that, I'm still telling you it's safe. And you're still repeating to yourself, I let go, I am safe, right?
Yeah. We already went into one of the questions that I sum up with people. It's like, what does it mean to be beautifully broken for you? We kind of did that one. So I want to give you, I want to give you some different ones as we wrap up here. What are some modalities that you love that are complementary to the work that you do that you find to be a real big shift for people?
Well, I think mindfulness and Vedic meditation is powerful. I think, I don't know a lot about it, but I hear EMDR is powerful. I hear somatic experiencing is great. I love Peter Levine and his work. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's, orgonomy, orthobionomy, which is what I mentioned is one of the modalities that I practice as well, or Feldenkrais or anything that's in that realm, right, of working with the body in a safe way. Alexander technique I hear is good. I don't know a lot about that, but there's a lot. Specifically, what are you talking about in terms of like, let's say to treat what? Like the physical body structurally or emotionally?
Or even just, you know, I love like you're saying, you know, you work with a human. I notice people progress faster when they do, whether it's an eating platform or whether it's committing to a sleep environment or a relationship with sleep. Maybe it's cold therapy, you know, and anything that pops out for you that you see.
All those things. So all those things. So yeah, of course, listen, nutrition, right, is huge. Cold therapy, hydrotherapy is great, right? I go to the bathhouse often, mm-hmm. you know, to engage in hydrotherapy. I think movement is huge. So movement as medicine and just really movement therapeutics. Bioenergetics is great. Core energetics is great. Those are also based in the work of Wilhelm Reich. Actually, his students created those techniques. So there's a lot, right? But essentially, breath work is great. I mean, there's just so many things.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, the other thing I would ask is if you could challenge the audience with a question for self-introspection as they walk away from the podcast, something to ask themselves that would evoke, you know, where they might go next to further their healing path.
I would say sitting in stillness and meditating on the question, what's coming up for me right now in my body? And really feeling into that and discovering if there's something that there is to heal, whatever that is, and to step into healing that and feeling safe again in your body. So do I feel safe in my body, right? That's the next question that I would ask. And so I think that's a really powerful question. again, just sitting in stillness and just feeling as often as you can, because we're not doing that. Just sitting. I love, like Matt Kahn said once in a talk, he said, sitting with the night. I just want to sit with the night. And I'm like, oh, I love that. Because sit with the day, right? Just sit. Don't be on your phone. Don't be on the computer. Don't be talking to somebody. Don't be doing anything. Just sit. Just sit. And you don't have to know how to meditate. You just have to sit and feel. Let it be the somatic experience meditation of just feeling what's coming up, feeling the sensations, each and every sensation in your body. The more you do that, the more that you reestablish a connection with your body and this home.
And then how do people get in touch with you if they want to either work remotely or work with you in the physical?
So it's kineticbodytherapy.com, or my Instagram is at kineticbodytherapy, or just Google kinetic body therapy and you'll find me.
Great. Yeah. And are you going to be speaking anywhere? Do you have any events coming up? Anything planned in the city?
Well, I'm going to Israel next week, so I'll be doing a little bit of a talk there in Tel Aviv. Here in the city, I don't have anything scheduled just yet, but look out for sometime end of November, early December, there'll be a talk, possibly here at the Assemblage again. I do workshops here as well. And a lot of the stuff I do is one-on-one, but yeah, there's going to be more. I'm scheduling a lot more actual talks and lectures and workshops soon.
Great. Well, I feel amazing. I can't wait to see what happens in the next 24, 48 hours, because I know the next few days are going to be different. I know there's going to be some additional work to do. And I really appreciate your gift and your craft and your intention. After being in, 194 cities in the United States, working all over the country, you know, doing 40 plus podcasts, being in this health and wellness market for 12 years, this practitioner is the real deal, like top 10. Like, you got to come down here. You've got to reach out, get in touch. Any of my friends who are in the Broadway music theater world, I am telling you, the trauma that we've been through for 20 years trying to get a job and feel of value, and the tension you hold in your body and the injuries and the repetition of pattern movement 8 times a week, you need this. So I would love to, I'm going to manifest this. I would love to set you up with a show and have you come work with a show for a, that would be a really cool podcast, an on the spot deal. So anyways,
awesome.
I just really appreciate your gift and your talent, and thanks for doing the interview, and thanks for the body work today. It was absolutely incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks again for having me. Thanks again for your trust and receptivity and for allowing me to share this gift of healing with you.
Amazing. Namaste, my friend.
Namaste.
Ladies and gentlemen, you made it to the end of the podcast. Now, in a world where the average attention span is less than 10 seconds, we just spent almost an hour together. And I think this is the beginning of something really beautiful. Now, one way to support the podcast is to head over to freddysetgo.com and check out my newly launched page, Freddy's Faves, where I've linked every 5-star product and healing modality you hear about on the show. Most offer significant discounts by clicking the link. And please know, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and at the same time, they support the show through affiliation. So check out Freddy's Faves on freddysetgo.com. This episode of the Beautifully Broken podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, AmpCoil, upgrading the vibrations of hearts, minds, and bodies all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Grabbing a download is like giving this virtual thumbs up that we're doing it right. And if you want to connect with me, shoot me a message on Instagram at freddysetgo.com or at freddysetgo. That's all for today. Our closing. The world is hurting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading, whatever it takes to move the needle. Remember, while life is pain, putting those fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I'm your host. I love you. Namaste. Have a wonderful day.